What is your agency doing to bring acquisition people in, and I guess more importantly, maybe, keep the good ones that you have? Both of those issues, every person like you that I talk to is saying that's challenge one right now.
Yeah, that, you know, that for the last couple of years now, that has been the biggest challenge in the acquisition community is finding the right people and then keeping the right people. And you know, as many people have said, we keep hiring from each other, and that's not going to work. So we've done a few things here at Education to combat that. One of the main things we're doing is we've really turned our focus in to hiring entry level folks. You know, so many times we would have a vacancy and a mid-level person or would leave, and immediately the manager wants to hire a mid-level person. And the problem is there are some out there, but they're really very few and far between. And even those ones that are out there, well, like I said, we're just stealing them from other agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of turned our focus here at Ed into entry level positions, and quite frankly, the timing of the poor economy has really helped us out as well, because there's just a tremendous number of highly qualified people out there that want to get into the government and are interested in acquisition. They're either, you know, MBAs or we've hired a bunch of JDs of late and things like that. So we're really finding just a level of candidate that we've never seen before. And at the same time, we're getting hundreds of applicants, where it used to be we maybe get 20.
Hmm.
So there's a lot in play here, in a big part because of the economy and in a big part because we've changed our focus on who we look to hire.
Is your pipeline thick enough though that you can bring in entry level people and move up folks that you already have in place?
Sure. And that's obviously the big challenge. And quite frankly, hiring the entry level people not only requires that we have that pipeline, but it also means more work for the existing workforce. The people that are there, obviously, if we bring in somebody that's seasoned, then they can do more than an entry level person. And mm-hmm. So it really puts more of a burden on our existing staff to pick up the pace and do more while we train and educate those people. And that was a challenge. But we've managed to work through it. We have a real dedicated staff. People, you know, really are engaged in the mission here and realize that we really needed to work hard at trying to find good folks to bring in. And I tell you, the people we are bringing in, because again, you know, I thank the economy for it, but again, because the people have such high quality, they're able to step in and learn a lot faster than entry level folks that we maybe brought in 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, weren't at the same level as some of these people are now. We've also kind of changed some of the way we train and educate these people. We started here at Ed a what we call a fellows program. There's two contracting offices here at Education, one in Federal Student Aid and one that manages the procurements for the rest of the department. And Federal Student Aid had an intern program a number of years ago, and we consolidated their program with a department-wide program. We started it back last year, May of 2010, was our first class of five fellows, and we're now in our second class of fellows right now. And really what this is taking in our folks of entry-level people, but we have a real clear training program set out for them. Unlike when a lot of people, like when I first came into procurement, you know, my new supervisor handed me the FAR and said, "Here, read this." That's what I did for the first 2 weeks.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, believe me, it turned me off pretty quick. And the scary part is, I'm not the only one. There are lots of people that were trained like that. I was in a conference not too long ago, talking to a group of folks, and I asked how many people were trained that way, and everybody's hands shot up. It was pretty surprising. So we have a real clear training program developed for these people, and reading the FAR is not part of it. Understanding it and learning from it is, but that's not their first assignment.
Uh-huh.
And then they rotate through. They spend 9 months in each of the contracting activities, and then they spend 6 months in one of the program offices. So they really get a full perspective of not only acquisitions in both offices at education, but also really get a good understanding of the mission of the department and the viewpoint from the program office. And we've got our first group is getting ready to go to their first assignment in the program office, and we have program offices falling all over themselves asking for people to come in on this 6 month detail. So we're real pretty excited about it. All these people get, like I said, specialized training, and they're really just fitting in really well, and they're teaching us because we're getting a lot of feedback from them on how to improve the program. That's really part of it, and we meet with them very regularly, and it's really we're learning. So the second group of people have already seen new ways of doing things that we're putting in place because of the lessons we learned from that first group.
You have shared your secrets now, so expect people all over government to be copying you as you compete with them to try to bring these people in.
Well, I would hope they would, and this is a great program. But another area that people are copying us already, because I've been asked to provide this information to a number of agencies, including OPM, who's using it in a number of initiatives, is we created, this is really in terms of keeping the people we have. When I first came to Ed about 3 years ago, And we started doing exit interviews when I got here. And we were losing people, just like every other procurement office. We were losing people very regularly. And so in these exit interviews, we started asking, well, why are you leaving? And what's really was shocking to me was almost every person, no matter how long they'd been here, whether they've been here for a year or been here for 5 years or longer, every one of them related something back to when they first came to the department, some bad experience when they first came to the department. Maybe the training was inconsistent, or they didn't meet anybody, or they couldn't find a pencil when they needed it, whatever it was. But they all related something back. And so we really quickly learned that we need to do a better job of onboarding staff and getting them on board and getting them acclimated to the new office. And so we started an onboarding program. This is back in March of 08 we started it. And the tool, it's really, you know, on one hand, it's kind of simple, and it's things you would think, oh, of course you do that. But we lay out, it's very clear, and we have a process to make sure that the people come on board and their desk is clear. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people come into the office, you know, new employee walk in, and, you know, the old person's garbage is still in the garbage can. I mean, you know,
I've been there.
Yeah, so you know, we try and get it, you know, make sure that it's clean. They have all their supplies, that the supervisor has a list of assignments ready for them. I mean, it seems basic, but the reality is we weren't doing that. So we created these things and managed these things, and now everybody is assigned two mentors, both a peer mentor, which is somebody to work with them kind of in their work group to help them with work-related issues. A peer mentor to help them with non-work related issues, you know, where's the bathroom, things like that. And then a senior mentor, somebody that can help them answer questions and really be focused more on the work.
I've got to take a quick break. Can you stick around for a minute through the commercial
absolutely.
Break? I would love to ask you a couple of questions, too, about interacting with vendors on some of these things.
Absolutely.
All right, cool. Hugh Hurwitz is my guest. He's the Deputy Chief Financial Officer and Senior Procurement Executive at the Education Department. We'll continue our conversation with him on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's 520. My guest is Hugh Hurwitz. He's the Deputy Chief Financial Officer and Senior Procurement Executive at the Education Department. We're talking about attracting and keeping a good or great, I guess, is what you're looking for, Hugh, acquisition team. And one of the sources that vendors have told me the agencies look to is them. They're going to the vendors and identifying people that work for the vendors who are good potential acquisition hires and hiring them, and it can sometimes cause a little bit of strain, they say, on the vendor agency relationship when you're taking away their, not you necessarily personally, but when the agency is taking away their best people. It sounds like some of the mechanisms that you're putting in place are going to help in that respect, at least.
Yeah, Francis, some of it probably will help, and you know, although I have to say that some of these folks that we are hiring have worked at other agencies. A lot of them are coming in without a lot of contract experience, but there are some that are coming in that have worked for various vendors, and so this won't eliminate that completely. But I got to tell you, you know, I got to think a lot of these vendors like the idea of having some of their people on the government side, and because hopefully, you know, we have a better understanding and a perspective of what they're going through, and it may be a little more favorable in thinking about each of those vendors. We like having people with that kind of experience because it gives us a little bit of perspective as well, and then we're not so insular and focused just on the government viewpoint. Mm-hmm. So it helps remind us too about what the other side's going through. So I think it can help both ways. So I, you know, they may like it on one hand, but I think they like it either way.
Yeah. Talk about that collaboration between vendors. That's something that Dan Gordon's been pushing quite a bit, is, and Martha Johnson's talking about it too, making sure that the agencies are talking to the vendor community as a whole to understand totally what the community can do on a particular procurement or in general. Is that collaboration process, do you think, getting better? Are the lines of communication open well between your department, for example, and the vendors that serve you?
Yeah, I think we're getting better at it. And you know, I think when Dan Gordon came in and also Vivek Kundra, you know, and it started really with his 25 points for better IT management, and then Dan started the myth-busting campaign, you know, we're getting better at collaborating and communicating with vendors. We're like other agencies, and a lot of rumors or became very risk averse, trying to avoid too much communication for fear we give somebody the competitive advantage. So we're now refocusing and starting to communicate better and earlier, really, is really the key in my mind, because we started too late in the process. Even when we finally did communicate, it was too late. We already had made mistakes or made decisions based on maybe incomplete information. So I think as we communicate better, we're learning a lot more, and we're able to issue a better solicitation and really hopefully get a better product at the end. And we've done a few things on the early communication side here that I think have worked out really well for us. You know, our Institute for Education Science is one of our customers. We started posting for them videos of their pre-solicitation information on the internet to help vendors and offers get a better understanding and be able to see at any time what it is we're doing. We had a neat procurement with our Office of Vocational and Adult Education. They held a webinar with prospective offerors, and we had 55 vendors participate, which is really a lot for us. And we had 55 vendors on that webinar, and the result is we ended up having a lot more competition than we'd had in the past, and we awarded a contract to a vendor that we haven't done business with before, who was offering really a new and innovative approach. So that's what that's all about. I mean, I think that's a good example of what Dan is trying to get to here, and getting better and earlier communication so that we can come up with these new and innovative approaches to doing business, and hopefully get some new vendors working with us that we haven't done business with before.